بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى he mentioned in his book الأدب المفرد continuing the discussion with regards to being nice and kind to the parents. He mentioned in chapter Rahimahullah, Babun yabarru walidayhi ma lam yakun ma'siyah. Babun yabarru walidayhi ma lam yakun ma'siyatan. That he has mentioned the chapter that is titled that the child must be nice and kind and obey, and he must obey the parents so long as he's not commanded with disobedience. After clarifying many of the issues that have preceded, now the author, he is going to touch on a very important principle, and that goes back to the first issue of At-Tawheed, and that the command belongs to Allah, and that we are created to worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to obey Him sincerely, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow what He has commanded. And we obey our parents because it is deen, and it's something that Allah has commanded. But this is restricted to the command of Allah, meaning that we cannot obey our parents if they command us to disobey Allah. And this is something that is very, very important to understand. That even as much as we love as our parents, and as much good that they have done for us, and the great status and rank that they have, and the great honor that they must be shown, all of this is for the sake of Allah. And His right comes first. And His right is the greatest right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be worshipped alone, to be obeyed. And know the obedience of nothing from the creation takes precedence over the obedience to the Creator. So before we begin reading the narrations that the author has mentioned in this chapter, we're going to add a narration that has been mentioned by the author in another book that he has, Sahih Bukhari, and also in another book by a great scholar named Al-Imam Muslim. It's also in Sahih Muslim. So the narration that we're going to add to this chapter before beginning reading, it is a narration that is muttafaqun alayhi. Nam is from the narration of Ali. And we should all memorize this narration because it's very short. And it's very beneficial, especially with regards to this topic. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا طاعة في معصية الله. لا طاعة في معصية الله. لا طاعة في معصية الله. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنما الطاعة في المعروف. I'm repeating it so it's easy for you to memorize. نعم. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا طاعة في معصية الله. إنما الطاعة في المعروف. There is no obedience to anybody if that requires the disobedience of Allah. There is no obedience to anybody if they command you to disobey Allah. And verily, obedience to the people is only in accordance to that which is good and that which Allah has allowed. Do we understand that? So we obey the people if they command us to do good, but if any of the people, no matter how great their rank is, or no matter how high their status is, or how much we like them or respect them, if they command us to do something that's not permissible, that Allah does not allow, meaning if they command us to do something that's considered ma'asiyah and disobedience to Allah, then we can never do that. Then we can never do that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La ta'ata fi ma'asiyatillah. إنما الطاعة في المعروف لا طاعة في معصية الله إنما الطاعة في المعروف. Who can repeat the hadith?
لا طاعة في سبيل الله
في معصية الله
معصية الله
إنما أحسنت إنما طاعة في المعروف. نعم ما شاء الله اللهم بارك. لا طاعة في معصية الله. إنما طاعة في المعروف. There's no obedience to anyone in the disobedience of Allah. And the only time that obedience is an obligation is if it's in something that is good and something that is legislated and something that is allowed in the deen. We understand that? From this understanding, Al-Bukhari, he mentioned بَابٌ يَبَرُّ وَالِدَيْهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعْصِيَةً, that the child, he must obey his parents so long as he does not do anything that's haram, disobey Allah. Okay? So, the Prophet sallallahu Al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned a narration with his chain to Abi Ad-Darda. To Abi Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu. And his name is Uwaymir Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, from the Ansar. And he's a great, great companion. And he's very knowledgeable and wise. Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu. He said, قال أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتسع. The Prophet or the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has commanded me, advised me with 9 things. So here we have the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم advising his companions. One of them, who is he? Uwaymir. What is he known by? Uwaymir al-Ansari. What is he known by? Abu, his kunyah. Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu. So this is a benefit, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's a teacher. And the teachers, they advise their students and they command them with the good that they know. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. Abu Darda, he's telling us the Prophet advised him and commanded him with these 9 things. So this is the way of the people of knowledge and the students along with their teachers, that the teachers, they advise the students to do good, and the students, they remember that. And if they learn that, then they also convey it to the people as well. And the khayr yantashir, and the goodness spreads amongst the people. So what are these 10 things? First, he says that nine things. First, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tushrik billahi shay'a. Do not associate any partners with Allah whatsoever. Not big and not small. Nothing. Only worship Allah alone. وَإِن قُطِعْتَ أَوْ حُرِّكْتَ. Even if you are cut up in pieces or burned. Do not associate any partners with Allah whatsoever, even if you are cut up or even if you are burned. Do you know that the previous nations from Bani Israel, Saul would be put in the middle of him and he would say, leave your deen. And then he would say, I'll never leave my deen. And then they'll saw him in half until part would fall on that side and on that side. They were so mean to the believers sometimes that they would do that to them. And the Prophet, he mentioned about that. They said, oh, you believe in Allah? He said, yeah, we believe in Allah. I said, no, you can't believe in Allah. He said, we have to believe in Allah. He said, no, you better not believe in Allah. And they'd tell him, you can't believe in Allah. And he would refuse. And they would be so mean to him, they would cut him in half. But he would not go back on his deen. And likewise, even there was a time whenever there were a lot of believers and they believed in Allah and they worshipped him alone. And the disbelievers, they built a big, big, big ditch and turned it on fire and set it on fire. And then they threw all the believers in there while they're alive. They did bad, bad things to the believers. But the believers, they never turn back from their deen. They believe in Allah. And the one who is patient upon their deen for the sake of Allah, they have the promise of paradise. And those people who died in that manner, holding fast to their religion, in the hereafter, in this life it seems like something bad happened to them, but in reality something good happened to them, and they have the mercy of Allah, and they have paradise in Jannah that never ever ends. As for the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is complete, or the legislation that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with, and that was completed, then the affair has been made easy for the believers. And if a believer is ever told to say a statement that's bad or haram, and if he doesn't say it, or then he's going to be hurt, then he can say it. But he doesn't believe it in his heart. Like in those days, for the other prophets and their nations, they were not allowed to say the wrong thing. Like, yeah, they said, say that you disbelieve. They have to say, no, I'll never say that. But as for the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because this legislation is made upon ease, that if somebody was ever going to have a sword and they said, you better say that you disbelieve. And then he said, no, no. He said, if you don't say you disbelieve, then I'm going to cut you with this sword. Okay, I disbelieve. You can say it then. But in your heart, in his heart, what does he say? I believe. Now I believe. We understand? So, but those for the other people, they used to say, they were not allowed to even say that. Now, as for what has been revealed in the Quran, Allah mentioned about this issue, those who disbelieve after their faith has come, except, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. That those people who disbelieve after they believed, they're going to be in the hellfire, except for those people who are forced to say that, but really they still believe. Like somebody's going to hurt them. You understand? Understand? Uh-huh. So if somebody was going to hurt a Muslim and say, you have to say that Jesus is Lord. Like this. And say, no way, Jesus is not Lord. Abdu'l-Billah. Jesus used to go to the bathroom and eat food like everybody else. And then he said, what do you say? You better say that you worship Jesus. And I'll never say that. He said, if you don't say it, I'm going to hit you with the sword. Okay, I'll worship Jesus. He can say it then. But in his heart, does he worship Jesus? No, he just said that so he doesn't hurt him. And he doesn't try to harm him. We understand? But in any case, a believer, he always, in his heart, loves Allah and worship Allah alone and nobody else. Now, and nobody else. Although, if he's ever in trouble, he can say something that's not right just to get out of trouble in that situation like that. Clear on the first one? Uh-huh. He says, وَلَا تَتْرُكَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ مُتَعَمِّدًا وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا مُتَعَمِّدًا بَرِيَتْ مِنْهُ ذِمَّةً. And he told him, who was talking? Huh? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who is he telling? Yani, Abu Darda is talking, but he's telling us what the Prophet said to him. The Prophet, this is the words of the Prophet. This is Hadith Marfu'. This is the words of the Prophet. What is he telling Abu Darda? Huh? First one, don't make shirk ever, no matter what you do, even if they try to hurt you. طيب. وَلَا تَتْرُكَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ. And do not ever leave the obligatory prayer مُتَعَمِّدًا on purpose. Never leave the obligatory prayer on purpose. And whoever leaves the obligatory prayer on purpose, then he will not have the protection of Allah. Then he will not have the protection of Allah. The people who perform the obligatory prayer, they have the protection of Allah. But whoever does not perform the obligatory prayer, then they do not have the protection of Allah. Whoever obeys Allah Azza wa Jalla and follows His commandments and follows His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will have the protection of Allah. And whoever disobeys Allah and disobeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will not have the protection of Allah accordingly. Huh? We know the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, احفظ الله يحفظك. If you protect and maintain the rights of Allah, He will protect you. Meaning if you don't, then He will not protect you. In تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you aid the deen of Allah and obey Him, then He will help you. But if you don't obey Him, He will not help you. So therefore, we have to maintain the salat. Don't ever leave the salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is advising Abu Darda, never ever leave the obligatory prayer on purpose. On purpose. And whoever leaves the obligatory prayer on purpose, he will not have the protection of Allah. What is the third thing? He told him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَلَا تَشْرَبَنَّ الْخَمَرُ. And do not ever drink alcohol. فَإِنَّهَا مِفْتَحُ كُلِّ شَرٍ. Because it is the key to every evil. The key to every evil. You know, the doors of goodness, there are keys in order to get them and to obtain them. And likewise, the doorways to evil, there are keys. What is the key to Jannah? Who knows the key to Jannah? Huh? La ilaha illallah is the key to Jannah. What is the key to Salat? The key to get into Salat. You can't get into Jannah except without the key. What's the key? La ilaha illallah. Anybody doesn't bring La ilaha illallah, you'll never get in Jannah. That's the key to Jannah. But what about Salat? Salat has a key too. What's the key for Salat? Naam, Tahara. You can't get no Salat if there's no Tahara. Tahara is the key for as-salah in this manner like this. So, the avenues of goodness, there's keys in order to get to them. Likewise, evil. The keys to evil. What are the keys to evil? What is the key to all evil? Khamr, drinking alcohol, iyadhan billah. Naam, drinking alcohol, iyadhan billah. طيب, and then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاطِعْ وَالِدَيْكَ وَنْ أَمَرَاكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ فَخْرُجَ لَهُمَا. That you have to obey your parents, even if they command you to give them some of your dunya, some of your property, some of your wealth, then you have to give it to them. Obey your parents, even if they command you to give you something from your possessions and from your worldly affairs, then you have to give it to them. This is the shahid. This is the point here, for the chapter. Now, so as long as they command you to do something that's permissible, then what do you have to do? Give it to them. If they want you to, for example, to clean up the kitchen, is that haram?
No.
Oh, you got to clean it up. They want you to take out the trash, is that haram?
No.
You have to take out the trash. What if there's like a Christian mother, he told her Muslim son to buy some pork chops? Can he?
No.
No, get some pepperoni pizza. Haram pepperoni pizza for her. Can he? No, he cannot. No, he cannot. But whenever he disobeys her, how does he do that?
In a nice way.
In a nice way. He can't be like, I'm never going to buy no pork. Are you crazy? Pork chops. Audhu billah. You eat that filthy stuff. No, you can't talk like that. You can't say those bad words to them. Although you think that in your heart, Audhu billah, how could you eat pork? That's so disgusting. Audhu billah is something Allah has made haram. To do something Allah has made haram is the most disgusting thing for a believer. To disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. But he would say, I'm sorry mom, I can't get the pork for you. But I can get you some turkey sausage and some turkey pepperoni. I know a good place to get the turkey pepperoni for you, pizza. Or even if he don't want to just stay out of the way, she just said, just give me some pepperoni pizza. Okay, sure, no problem. And you go to the Muslim pizza and get the pepperoni pizza. You never tell her. He didn't disobey her. It's okay, alhamdulillah. You're good. Now, but the point is that we obey our parents if they command us to do something good. But what if they command us to do an obligation? Like, go make wudu or pray. That's even more. Now we really have to obey them. This is talking about, When amaraka and takhruja min dunyak. If they command you to give something from the dunya, then even then you have to obey them. Now, طيب, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said after that, وَلَا تُنَازِعَنَّ وَلَاتِ الْأَمْرِ وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنَكَ أَنْتَ. And do not try to go against the Muslim rulers, even if you think you're strong enough to do that. Even if you think you're strong enough to do that and you're upon the truth. Don't ever try to go against the Muslim rulers. Even if you think you're upon the truth and upon the right way and you can take him down. وَلَا تُنَزِّعَنَّ وَلَاتِ الْأَمْرِ وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ. Allahu Akbar. Naam, and then what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَفْرُرْ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ. And don't never flee from the enemies because you're scared. Don't ever be a coward in the face of battle and war. وَإِنْ هَلَكْتَ. Even if you die, if you face the enemy, you don't turn your back and run because of being a coward and scaredy cat. Even if they're gonna kill you, you don't do that. You stand brave in the face of danger and the enemy, and you not let the Muslims that are fighting with you down. Whether you stand your ground, even if they overcome you. طيب, وفر أصحابك. Even if your companions flew also, they fled away, they ran away. ولا تفرور من الزحف وإن هلكت وفر أصحابك. He said, do not ever flee from battle because of being scared and a coward, even if you die and your companions ran away from you and left you by yourself. You just stand there and you be strong. Okay, what did he say after that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa anfiq min tawrika ala ahlika, and spend that which is easy for you on your family. This is from this great advices. So many different advices in so many different fields of life. All of these nine different issues. One here, وَأَنْفِقْ مِنْ طَوْرِكَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ يَعْنِي مِنْ يُسْرِكَ وَمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. نعم فلينفق ذو ساعة من ساعتي like Allah he says. نعم. So he's commanding him, if you have a family, spend your wealth on them. Spend your wealth on them and take care of them. For the one who has lots of money, he spends a lots of money on them. And the one who does not have lots of money, he spends whatever he can on them. Huh? So sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes the parents have lots of money. The Abu, he has big money. He spends on his family a big time. And the other time he doesn't have much money, so he spends a little bit. But he's supposed to spend on his family. He's supposed to spend on his family. The dad, he spends on the family. وَأَنْفِقْ مِنْ طَوْلِكَ عَلَى أَهْلِكَ. Any from that which you have. Those who've been given a lot, they spend a lot. And those who have been given a little, they spend a little. And this is the best way. Huh? You understand? طيب. وَلَا تَرْفَعْ أَصَاكَ عَنْ أَهْلِكَ وَأَخِفْهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ. And do not lift your stick up off your family and make them afraid of Allah. What does that mean? Huh? The stick, the whooping stick. Huh? You keep it on top of them. Huh? And you make them afraid of Allah. Huh? Meaning that you make the student, you make the kids afraid of Allah. Huh? And you don't let them just do whatever they want. And if they do bad things, you reprimand them. And you have to be observant of them. And you have to, huh? You have to watch them and check them. And you don't let them do haram things. You don't let the family do haram things. Huh? This is what he's telling, to watch them and to observe them. And to have authority over them. And to protect them. Even if they want to do haram stuff. They want to play haram games. La. La tarfa' asaq. And ahlika. Don't know. You put the stick on them. Huh? Meaning that you put the authority down. Huh? That you have authority over them and command over them. And you should never let them just watch whatever they like. And look whatever they like. And talk to whoever they like. And buy whatever they like. And dress however they like. And la, la. You have to. وَأَخِفْهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ. Make them afraid of Allah. From the best and the most important aspect of tarbiyah and cultivating the child is that the parent, especially the father, makes them afraid of Allah. And from the greatest mistakes and deficiencies in tarbiyah and raising the children, listen, is that the father or the parent, the guardian, especially the father, makes them afraid of him. He threatened them with him. You, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. You should, and you, how can you dare disobey me? And like this, that. But rather he threatened them with Allah. And he makes them afraid of Allah. Not afraid of him. And not afraid of what he's going to do. And himself. But rather he reminds them of Allah. This is something Allah does not like. Allah will punish you. Allah will expose you. You should be careful what you're looking at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exposes the people that think that they can hide from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will punish those people that do bad things and those kids who do not listen, and to be reminded of Allah. So that even whenever he disobeys them and even whenever he reprimands them, that he does that for the sake of Allah, not for his own right. And he reminds them and the children, they have to know to fear Allah. To fear Allah. We understand that. Huh? Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is talking about don't ever lift your stick up off your children, off your family. Not your children, but your family. But doesn't mean to hit them all the time. Whether what has come in the sunnah that it's allowed to spank. Huh? But how is the spanking? Huh? How is the spanking? This is an issue. The spanking is the last thing, and it's never the first thing. Some parents, they get it all wrong. One little thing goes wrong, first thing they do, spank and hit and scream and yell. Pap, 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 pap. Some kids all day, this is what they hear. Pap, 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 pap. Allahu al-musta'an, they have mean parents. Yeah, they do. There's some people that have mean parents. Huh? And they spank them and whoop them. That's not the right way. Huh? The spanking is the last thing. Huh? And the likes like this and being harsh and disciplining, there's a place for that, but it's not the first thing. It's the last thing. If there's a way to take care of it without raising the voice, if there's a way to take care of it without spanking, if there's a way to take care of the issue without being harsh, that's the way to do it. First, to advise them and to remind them and to teach them in the good way. And barakallahu fiqh, that's not good to talk like that. Do you think that it's nice for you to talk to your mother in that manner? Do you think Allah is pleased with that whenever the child talks like this? And to remind them of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to remind them of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this. But if they refuse to do good, and they keep acting up, and they keep doing bad things, then it's okay to spank them. It's okay to spank them. But then how do you spank them? Is it okay to spank them and to spank them so hard that they have bruises? A'udhu billah. No. You can never spank them so hard they have bruises or that they bleed or that they hurt their arms. Some parents get so mad they grab their child by the arm like that and yank on their arm out of socket on accident because they get angry and they don't know how to control themselves. A'udhu billah. All of this is bad things. But they spank them, enough to know that what they did is wrong, and to know that they're being disciplined and that their family and that their father is not happy with them, Also, listen. This is very important. Inshallah, you're going to have children. You have to learn how to raise your children too. Okay. Also, whenever the parent spanks the child, you cannot spank him in a manner where it belittles him. To belittle him. You can't spank him to belittle him and make him, you're bad and talk bad and be mean to them and make them feel like they're nothing. Nah, you can't spank them in that way either. That's not the kind of spanking that is allowed. What kind of spanking is allowed? The one that is for discipline. To discipline them. The type that is intended only to discipline them. Now, what's an example of that? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مُرُوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ إِنْدَ السَّبْعِ. To command your children to pray whenever they're seven. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا عِنْدَ الْعَشَرِ. And spank them for not doing it whenever they become 10. Why? Because what happens if they don't learn how to pray? What's better? Some kid is lazy, he doesn't want to pray at 10, and then he grows up and he dies for praise and he dies and goes to the hellfire. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرُ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِينَ. Why did you go on the hellfire? They said, we didn't used to pray. Which one is better? That one, to let him just go like that to the hellfire, or to spank him a little bit every now and then whenever he's lazy or he doesn't want to do right until he starts to go straight and he starts to pray all the time and he dies upon the prayer and goes to Jannah? Which one is better? A little bit spanking? Or fun, and then he dies and he has the anger of Allah. A little bit? That's right. So this is something that leads to that which is good. So these are the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had advised Abu Darda, la tushrik billah, don't make shirk with Allah, even if you're chopped up or burned. And do not ever leave the obligatory prayer on purpose. And whoever leaves it on purpose, then verily he has no protection from Allah. That's two. And do not ever drink alcohol, because that's the key to every evil. And obey your parents, even if they command you to give you some of your dunya. And do not ever try to go against the rulers, even if you think that you got it going on. And you can do that. And never flee from the enemy, even if you're going to be destroyed and your companions leave you by yourself. And spend from your wealth, whatever you have, on your family. And never lift the stick from your children, from your family. Meaning that means to keep your authority over them. Do not ever just let them do whatever. Rather, you have to have the authority over your family and keep them in line. And also, وَأَخِفْهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ, and to make them afraid of Allah. From the greatest and from the best things that helps a person go to paradise. The number one issue that's going to help somebody go to paradise is to be afraid of Allah. We have to be afraid of Allah. And we have to be, the fear of Allah has to be cultivated in our hearts. And we have to be afraid of Allah. And the more afraid of Allah we are, the more we'll obey Him. And the more we will stay away from haram. But the people who are afraid of Allah, they're the ones who know Him. The ones who learn about Him, and they learn about His names and His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they learn about His rububiyyah and His lordship and His ability to do all things. And they learn that they were created by Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they are returning to Him. And they know about all of His beautiful names and attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will fear Him. The more one knows Allah, the more he's afraid of Allah. And the more somebody is afraid of Allah, the more he obeys Allah. And the further he is from the disobedience of Allah. May Allah give us the fear of Allah and fill our hearts with the love of Allah. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.